previously on Podcast Without Pretense.
You know, I think we should try one of these where we do it without hitting the record button.
You know, I think that this show should be experienced live as much as it can be. If you don't watch this live, boy, are you stupid. Okay, so either Jonathan has completely gotten upset based on what I said, or his connection is completely crapped out, which has happened before. I'm Aya Zaktar, and he's Jonathan Strickland, and Eric Sandine is not here. Together, we form a trio.
Too bad we're not together right now.
That's true.
So here's the thing. This connection, cutting through the shit right now, through the shit, this connection is so bad, I'm actually thinking about switching over to Skype on my phone and using that instead.
Well, I'm all for it. It depends on our producer. I can just keep yammering until that finishes. Should we just do that?
I can, never mind. I just realized my phone's not with me. It's upstairs.
So that means settles that.
Yeah.
So, hey.
I just want to thank our sponsor. Fuck you, Comcast.
Yeah, that's Comcast with a capital F-U providing Jonathan service right now. I'm a Time Warner that's now owned by Charter, and it's not bad. So remember that, folks.
On the bright side, when I happened to check the Google Fiber thing again, apparently they're laying Google Fiber on the north end of the neighborhood that I live in. So there's at least some hope that it will extend down to where I'm at.
All right. So for the video viewers, they're probably enjoying the fact that it's only me on screen. I'm hoping we have some stills of Jonathan Strickland from all kinds of Renaissance fairs. Check Facebook. And then we'll show pictures of that when Jonathan talks.
Well, I mean, I turned the video back on. The problem is that when my connection, it drops so quickly. I was hoping that by turning the video off, I would still be able to talk to you. But apparently it doesn't matter. This show is going to be a little bit of a total chaotic mess because of multiple things, since Eric's not here and since my connection is so awful.
I mean, that's great. It's actually not the fault of our actual show that this is chaos and shitty. It's because of other circumstances. And I know we're not going to talk about this movie, Love, Wedding, Marriage, until Eric is
here.
But
you watched it.
I did watch it because, Jonathan, you sent me an email saying I should watch it. It'll warm the cockles of my heart.
No, I said it would warm your cockles. I didn't say what part.
Okay, so I guess I've read too much into that, or I didn't read past the preview that showed up on Outlook on my phone. But I'm not going to talk negatively or positively about the movie, but I will say this. Waste of time.
Yeah, no, that's a fair summary. I'm pretty sure that's what 99% of the Rotten Tomatoes reviews said. This movie, by the way, did receive a 0% rating on Rotten Tomatoes, which is lower than Rock and Roll Frankenstein.
Yeah, I mean, it's not offensive. I mean, there's some aspects that are a bit offensive. We'll get to that eventually. What's so offensive about Love, Wedding, Marriage? Although I was really hoping, and this is a spoiler, they show the love part in like 10 seconds, and they show the wedding part in like 10 seconds. And I was really hoping this was something like kind of really crazy experimental film that ends in 30 seconds. It's like, this is marriage and the end. But that didn't happen. It's about 90 minutes, and it's about 80 minutes too long.
Yeah, we'll cover it. We'll cover it in our next episode when Eric is back, and we can all dig into this film, and I can really rethink my strategy for picking movies for Podcasts Without Pretense. We'll save it. So, since the last episode, you were not at the last episode. You were moving during that, correct?
Yes, I was moving. If you're watching the video now, you might see my backdrop is a little different. I'm sitting in a loft right now. I have to set it up. There's a lack of lots of things. Like one, I'm sitting on the floor. I don't have my real camera. My actual camera is sitting right here. So I'm using the FaceTime camera, the shot's all different because I'm using my regular camera from my laptop. So I moved in for the most part, but this space still needs a lot of work. I got to figure out how to have low furniture because this loft's about 4 feet tall, which is good because you can sit comfortably. My son can stand up comfortably, but it's still a hell of a lot more space than I had. So even though it's only 4 feet tall, it's a ton of space that I can actually sit and do a show without interfering with everybody else. Because Liz is going to, she's watching something on the Roku behind me and she can just relax as opposed to be like, okay, we're in the one room. Can you just,
not as everyone who's here has to be quiet for the next hour while we talk about really shitty movies on Netflix.
Yeah. And so this is a little bit easier and I don't have a door up here or anything. So my noise and my blatherings are being transmitted easily within this place, but it's still better. So the movie's over. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, so, you know, you are in a pretty centralized kind of layout with yours. I'm in a house that has multiple rooms, multiple floors. And I think one of my many issues is that I don't have this particular computer I'm talking into right now. It is not hardwired to my modem because it's downstairs from where my router and modem are. So actually my modem router, it's one thing. So I don't have a hardwired connection to this computer, which is part of the problem, right? Like the wireless issue can be a problem. And so today when I was starting to have issues, I wasn't entirely sure if it was the wireless adapter from my computer, if it was the actual internet, which has started to have more hiccups again more frequently, just like last year, around this time last year. Same thing. So, and I know that it's not just me because I'm getting, when I use the Xfinity app on my phone, I see that there are issues in the neighborhood, not just with our service. But I've even noticed the wired connections are having some sort of issue because I have my Xbox One wired to my router and it stopped recognizing that as a connection. And I don't know if it's the Xbox One where the port has failed or if it's the – I don't think it's the router itself because I switched the port I had plugged the Ethernet cable into. But I had to switch Xbox One to wireless because I couldn't get any data over the wired connection. And I maybe it was just that the internet service itself was so shitty. I don't know. But anyway – I'm really looking forward to the day when I can get rid of this goddamn service, switch over to something else, and hopefully experience fewer incredibly frustrating problems.
Yeah, you've historically had the worst connections. I mean, I've had some pretty bad connections, but yours are the most consistently bad.
Yeah, and, no, when you look at the history of Podcasts Without Pretense and you think bad connections, you think – that time Eric called on the back of a motorcycle was bad, but not as bad as Jonathan's goddamn connections in his own house.
That's Comcast's slogan. Just as bad as Jonathan's house.
God. I really hope that Google Fiber stretches down this way because I will switch so fast. Anyway, so besides your moving, have you seen anything else, like any movies or TV shows or anything that you feel is worthy of discussion, whether it was great or awful?
Sure. I saw The Lion King on Broadway.
Oh, yeah. I've seen that, but not on Broadway. I saw a touring production of it. What did you think?
I thought it was pretty good. I've seen it parodied already on The Simpsons. I think they did an Itchy and Scratchy Land style or play or something where they did like a death and there was all this blood ribbon, so it was kind of neat to see the actual original. The cast was really good. It was relatively fun. I'm not the biggest fan of the movie itself or the story, because like this story is a different story and I've seen it before, but the play itself or the musical was very good. I was very impressed with it, but not the biggest fan. This is probably because I'm a father. I'm tired of the fathers being killed off or parents being killed off in these things. But every Disney movie kills a parent. It's just
at least one, if not both.
Yeah. So I'm just kind of like, well, shit. This one's dead too because I know he's gonna die. But the Mufasa ghost thing that they put together at the end, really enjoyed that. Really a beautiful visual made up by lots of different people. They do it's a really hard thing for a play and or live action, and they did just a fantastic job.
Yeah, the puppetry in that is always really impressive, and the fact that some of the animals are a little more abstractly presented than others, I think that's a kind of interesting approach, and one that you pretty quickly get acclimated to, right? Like, it's one of those things where when you first see it, you think, is this going to be distracting? And then after a little while, you're like, no, I totally get into this. It's pretty good. I was really impressed with the production I saw, and that was just a touring production, not the Broadway cast. But that's a cool thing to see. I mean, I envy the fact that you have more accessibility to that kind of stuff if you were so inclined to go see it, even because, you know, not living in New York, I don't have that opportunity very frequently. And all that being said, if anyone ever accidentally gifts you tickets to Hamilton and you didn't want to go see it, you let me know and I'll come up there.
I've heard people that have actually flown out, or heard of people that have flown out, like from San Francisco, just to watch Hamilton. I don't know much about it. I looked into it. I see why they're so excited about it. But before we leave Lion King, I wanted to mention that one of the things I liked most about it is the fact that it trusts the audience to figure out what's going on. Because there are times when Simba is played by a little boy. There are times where Simba is actually just like a puppet, just this little toy that's handheld. And then he's obviously a little bit more grown up. But there's a lot of trust in the audience to understand the abstractions, which I really enjoyed, because sometimes, you know, things are dumbed down, but this case, that wasn't the problem. And back to Hamilton, if that happens, I'll let you know, because I also saw another musical, strangely enough, because for some reason Liz gets free tickets to stuff where she works, and so she got us tickets to something called Disaster, which I don't know if I talked about on the show already. Did I talk about Disaster?
I don't think so.
All right, so Disaster the Musical is it's a spoof on disaster movies, and it's essentially Poseidon, or the Poseidon Adventure.
Gotcha.
And it's so unbelievably cornball and cheesy, and it's all 70s music and 70s get-ups, and it's no longer showing. It was like the last weekend it was running, and I thought I don't think I've ever laughed as much at a musical. Because it was completely ridiculous and silly, and they completely knew it, and they were okay with it. And so it was much easier for me to get into, because my initial problem with musicals is, why are they singing? I've gotten over that for the most part, because if I can watch a man become a Spider-Man, if I can watch, you know, a Batman exist, any of this crap, I can get over the fact that this is not exactly realistic. So...
yeah,
but Disaster was just a lot of fun, and I couldn't believe I was laughing as hard as I was, and I'm surprised that the show is off Broadway now, because maybe it's not as prim and proper as some of the stuff that's out there, but it was really fun, and I think that's lacking at times when you're going to sit and watch a bunch of people sing. It's like, why are you singing? Like, this is just, it's just dumb. The plot itself was dumb. I mean, it's a disaster movie. It was right. Poseidon, essentially. There's an awesome column that's in the set, and they actually have it kind of rotate all the way over and upside down. They have the upside down set in the back. It was pretty ambitious for what it was.
Well, I mean, Broadway itself tends to go in these cycles where you'll get variations on a similar theme. So, like, there was a cycle where it was all super melodramatic musicals, and that would be The Phantom of the Opera, Les Miserables, Miss Saigon, all of those huge over-the-top things that enormous production value and ridiculous sets and all that kind of stuff, and very melodramatic stories as well, like to the point where you can understand why teenagers gravitate toward it, but anyone who has gone beyond that teenage sensibility finds it a little tiresome. So that was one era. Then there was like and some of these overlap, obviously. There was also the era of all the jukebox musicals, which are musicals that are made up of songs that already exist. So stuff like Rock of Ages or Mamma Mia, where We Will Rock You. These are shows that try to incorporate pre-existing music, sometimes from a single band or artist, to fit into the confines of a narrative, and sometimes it works and a lot of times it doesn't. Then you have the super serious, heavy musicals that might have a little bit of humor in them, but largely they're designed to make you feel like shit, like Spring Awakening or Next to Normal. These are ones that, that deal with pretty heavy issues, and so they become really heart-wrenching. And then you've got some musicals that are more goofy, fun stuff, like you've got Book of Mormon or Something Rotten, which is a musical about a group of playwrights and actors who are trying to go up against Shakespeare in the Renaissance, and they invent the musical. There's also the genre of the adaptation that also is still going on strong. The adaptation being, let's take some other property, whether it's a film or TV series or whatever, and turn it into a musical. There are a ton of those. Like, they're all the Disney adaptations, like Lion King, but there are also other adaptations, like Xanadu being adapted into a stage musical, or Hairspray is an interesting one, because that was a movie, then it became a stage musical. Now there's a movie version of the stage musical, which is similar to Little Shop of Horrors, which was a regular movie, not a musical. Then it was a stage musical. Then they made a movie of the stage musical. So there are all these different eras, and depending on your sensibility, you may find one more attractive than another. I like the fun ones too. I can appreciate the heart-wrenching ones, but I would like to, if I'm going to spend that much money to go see a performance, I kind of would like to feel good when I'm leaving.
Look, I don't mind the heart-wrenching ones as plays, because I have a hard time with this idea that, you know, something horrible is happening and then you have the need to sing. And I know it goes against that realism thing I'm talking about, but like that, it pulls me out of it. And I really want to be in the story. I got to see a play here, and it had whoever played Ted Mosby in Jeffrey Radner. That's his name. He was in this play, and it was actually written by a guy whose last name is Akhtar. No, I don't know him personally. It's my last name. So I was like, okay, I really wanted to see it. Liz got me tickets for that for my birthday. And it was a really heavy-hitting play about racism in America and what it is to be essentially brown in America, which was, I was like, okay, I could see, I could relate to this. Super heavy, but there's no singing in it. And I understood why, because it's not something that you should have a moment where the spotlight shines on you and you see that. But that's like a whole other category of entertainment. So I definitely enjoyed that play, even though it was really dark. But when it comes to musicals where they start singing and it's heavy, like Miss Saigon's got a ton of that, right? Like Miss Saigon's pretty heavy because, you know, war and shit. But yeah, the singing is a little bit weird. I think I had to see that because my sister dragged us to that a long time.
Well, I mean, it's, you know, you have to consider that within the frame of the story itself, you're not supposed to be thinking these characters are singing. The singing is the way that they express the story to you at that moment. But that within the reality, like if you were to step into that story and become a character, it's not that everyone is constantly singing all around you, unless it's something that's specifically meant to deconstruct the musical genre. Like there was a show I saw here in Atlanta that was like that, called Musicals Suck the Musical. And the concept behind it was that there was the main character is a woman who doesn't like musicals, and she finds them irritating and distracting, and she doesn't enjoy them at all. And then she gets hit on the head, or no, she gets hit by a gypsy curse, and the gypsy curse turns her life into a musical. But all the songs tend to be meta commentary on the way songs play different roles within a musical. And I thought that one was pretty funny. There was another one called Gutenberg the Musical, which I highly recommend if you ever, because this was not just it was a local production I saw, but it came out in New York. If you ever get a chance to see Gutenberg the Musical, you absolutely should do it, because it's an incredibly funny show, and it's another meta commentary. it's done as if it's two playwrights who have this idea that they wanted to write a musical, and they had to find someone to write it about. So they chose Johann Gutenberg, the inventor of the Gutenberg press, and did some very preliminary Google searches that acts as their entire research for the show. And then the two actors are pitching the show, and the audience is actually supposed to be potential producers. So the two actors are actually taking on all the different roles that appear inside the show, but it's just the two of them. And they use different trucker hats with names written on them to represent when they switch into different characters. And it requires that the two actors each develop different voices to represent all the different characters, different accents. They sing in different styles. Sometimes they'll switch characters so that one person who was playing a role up to that point is now playing a different one, and the second actor is playing the first role. Really highly recommended, because it points out the absurdity of musicals while also celebrating it.
Is your dog okay?
Yeah, he's upstairs in his crate, which is why he's barking. He can probably hear me down here, and that's why he wants to be out. He's absolutely fine, though. The problem is that my wife's not home yet. So since my wife's not home, he's, and I can't just let him run around, because he will destroy stuff if I'm not supervising him. He's a good dog, but if he's left alone, he gets bored and he starts to act out. So that's why we have to put him in a little crate for the times when no one is there to watch after him. Or we pin him up in a large area downstairs, but I can't have him there because it's right outside the door where I record this. So he'd be even louder if he were down here.
Today was the first day they would let our dog Tori basically have free reign of the first of the main floor, other than the bedroom and the bathroom and the kitchen. Those were like closed off, and we had the drop cam on. We were watching. She got angry at like 3:30 or something because somebody was probably knocking at the door or trying to get a package in. But apart from that, like, everything was fine. Nothing was torn up. She's almost 10 years old though, so like you'd think she would have done something by now. But she hasn't torn up the couch. Very happy about that. Although she has eaten a book or two in her time, which is really dumb. She eats a spine off a book, but all the bookcases up here now. So there's a good chance.
Tybalt's part terrier, mostly terrier, and terriers do tend to get pretty destructive if you can't train it out of them. And we haven't taken him to a trainer yet to really work with him on that. We really need to, because he picks up on stuff very quickly. But we just, neither of us have the expertise to train him in that way. So, but I think this was a fun discussion about musicals. It really complements the discussion Eric and I had last week about the Google I/O event.
Sounds about the same thing.
Yeah, I mean, eventually there'll be a Google musical, and it'll just. It'll be powered by Google search.
Google Sickle? What's the word, the new word for that?
For what?
If you had to make the word Google, the two words Google musical into one word, what's the word?
Like it would be goozical.
Goozical?
It'd be goozical, yeah.
Goozical, a musical all on moogs. So it's a moogical.
And then, your entire show is based off of random Google searches where, you have to let the autocomplete function take over, where you start typing in words and you let it just autocomplete.
And the hit song is "I'm Feeling Lucky."
That's right. That would be the opener. I think we're on to something.
Yeah, something bad, I think. Have you gotten to see anything? Have you seen anything recently that you would like to spotlight before we put a bullet in the brain of this episode?
Well, let's see. I guess the only thing I started watching Lady Dynamite this evening. Have you seen any of that?
No. What is that?
So Lady Dynamite is a new Netflix original series starring Maria Bamford, and it's sort of based off of her. It's semi biographical, or at least inspired by her life and her battles with mental illness. But it's a comedy. It's a surreal, absurd comedy series that is constantly breaking the fourth wall. It's jumping around in time. It has these moments where, you know, you're like, well, this is clearly not meant to be representative of the real world. And so it's a lot of fun, and it's really dark in places, because I mean, they are talking about mental illness and the treatment facilities for the mentally ill as well, and those parts can get pretty darn dark. But some of my favorite things are include, like, Patton Oswalt shows up as a cop in the first episode, and as he's performing his role, he's not Patton Oswalt in that part. You know, he's supposed to be a cop, but in the process of the scene, he breaks character and becomes Patton Oswalt and tries to talk Maria out of inserting her stand-up into her show. And you know, it's all, yeah, it's all, it's a little experimental and weird, but also really fascinating and genuinely funny, but also incredibly uncomfortable. So check it out.
I like uncomfortable humor. Sometimes
it's good.
Those cringeworthy things, and when they linger for a while, you see the comedy in it, because sometimes when you have a situation that's so messed up, you can't do anything but laugh. And I like that little bit of uncomfortable nature that pushes that, because it's just almost natural for us to do that. When you feel something is going weird, unless you like run away from it, you end up laughing at it. It's just so ridiculous.
I can handle some cringeworthy humor. It depends on the presentation. Like, It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, when I first started watching that, I was having a real hard time getting through an episode. But now I love that show. And I think it's largely because all the characters are terrible, so I don't really feel too much empathy for them. But whenever the character – what's that?
I've yet to watch that show.
Oh my gosh, that show is amazing. Talk about musicals. When you get to The Nightman Cometh, oh, it's so good.
Go ahead.
I was about to say, it's those shows I can watch, but if it's a show where the character I'm watching I feel a lot of empathy toward, then those cringeworthy sequences hurt for me. I feel so much discomfort, it borders on pain.
Speaking of pain, I'm now learning in this loft space that if I sit in this one position long enough, my left foot falls asleep. So it feels no pain, but also it's losing feeling. So based on that, I'm going to suggest we look into the future. Shall we do that?
That sounds good to me.
Next time on Podcast Without Pretense.
Shut the fuck up, Eric.
Now my right foot's asleep. I don't know how I'm getting down this ladder. If I come back, I'm going to have head trauma.